It is in the name. We don't want to forget that. I watch people get hung up on the scriptures because they don't understand. They fuss and they argue, you know, and they lay the name aside and they say, well, remission is by the blood. They say there's no remission except by the shedding of the blood. That's where your mission is. And so Jesus did that for us at Calvary. And that is true. If anybody preaches that, I preach that. There is no remission without the shedding of the blood. I've never heard anyone come out and say that to me. But I've talked to them where they say, you know, that it takes the blood. They use the terms, it takes the blood. Whereas there's no remission without the shedding of blood. We need to remember that. That needs to be something that is ironclad in our heart. But the thing is, though remission, though it is by the shedding of the blood, we have to remember it is the Lord Jesus' blood, and that we are made heir to the remission by the blood through the name. So remission for sin is preached through the name of Jesus because it is His blood. So then the blood applies to us only through His name. The Bible said, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the man said to Paul, go down to the street called Straight, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. Whereas if we take the outlook that everyone that calleth upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved, just to say, Lord, save me, then we have to deal with the scripture that says, not everyone that saith Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, that is to be baptized also. Jesus said, lest a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. He that doeth the will of my Father, Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. So then he that endureth to the end, the same is the predestinated. He shall be saved. And he that doeth the will are they that are ordained unto eternal life. And the Bible said when Paul preached, as many as were before of old ordained unto eternal life, they believe. This was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at Calvary at the rent veil and preached down through the church ages even unto our day. So, you are heir through the name. A little difference came up over in Alaska. A brother, he's Baptist, and yet he come hard after this message while we was there. And another brother that wasn't so wise, he went over and was talking with him. And they got into a discussion about praying the sinner's prayer. You know, like Billy Graham and the different ones do, church, all kind of folks. Praying the sinner's prayer. That is, I say, Brother Taylor, repeat after me. You understand what I mean? Brother Taylor knows exactly what I'm saying. And that's fine. There's certainly nothing wrong with it. But this particular man was talking about how that he believed God would save you. All you had to do was repeat the sinner's prayer. And the other brother said, I don't think Brother Pike teaches that. He insisted that wasn't right. So it upset the other brother. And he said, well, I don't want nothing to do with it. I told him, I said, leave him alone. He'll be all right. Of course, he's all right. He's done turned clear around, and he's running after it as hard as he can come. But anyway, he had his personal conviction about it, and the other brother wasn't too wise in that he went over and said something to him. But I said all of that just to get around to saying this. You know, that's fine. You stand somebody up before you, and you say, repeat after me. Lord, forgive me my sins. And on you go. And then you set that person down and you say, now, the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you've called upon the name of the Lord and you are saved. And a lot of times you have made him a proselyte, twofold more the child of hell. Because whereas he was a candidate for Christ to the extent that he knew he was lost and could come to God, now he's no longer in that kind of condition. He is someone that believes he has salvation and he's still just as wretched as he ever was. So see, that doesn't bring you salvation. First of all, let's just consider it a little bit. The Bible said with their lips, they say, Lord, Lord. With their lips, they say, forgive me. With their lips, they serve me. As to a confession unto salvation. It said, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. Now what's the difference? What is the difference? Faith comes from the heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Salvation or confession unto salvation is made with the lips. But you can speak with the lips, and you won't be speaking according to righteousness. No matter what I say comes from my heart. So if I say, Jesus, I love you, that come from my heart. But I could have lied. From my heart, I could have told a lie. I might have said I loved him when I didn't. You would say, well, how could that be? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But I can say from my heart, Jesus, I love you. And really mean it from my heart and be keeping the commandments of God. So not every one that saith, Lord, Lord, but faith by the hearing of the will, that is, he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and the word, the Bible said, how can you hear the word lest you have a preacher? How can you preach lest he be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. So then, to pray a sinner's prayer, as you would say, one might believe. When they repeated that after you, one might not believe. One might not believe. He might not be a believer at all. And then on the other hand, he might go far enough to be a believer. But that still isn't good enough. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. But he says, if ye have not my spirit, then you're none of mine. Believe all you want to. Don't let anybody tell you that there's one that's going to have the Spirit and one that ain't going to have the Spirit and all of them's going to be saved. You know, it's saved and it's sanctified and it's filled with the Holy Ghost as to this group and this group and this group. Don't let nobody tell you that. He said, what I say to one, I say to all. He that hath not my Spirit, he is none of mine. A child may be born into the world. It may be every bit a child. He may be whole. He may not be a freak. In his body, he may have all of his members, his eyes, his ears, his hair. He may have every member of his body, but it may be a stillbirth and he may be dead. See, without the Spirit, there is no child. They put him in a little hole. So, if you're going to be born again, you're going to have to get the Spirit of God. You're going to have to be born of the Spirit. The birth is of, the natural birth is of water and of blood and of Spirit. And it's going to take the same thing for you to get into the next world. So, I just felt like saying that this morning because we have quite a number of people that have their ideas about salvation as to what it is and the way that you get into the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you this, I got into this world, like I was telling them in Alaska when I was preaching there. I got into this world one way. I was born into this world. That's why I'm able to look around and see everything. And I got into the other world the same way. I was born into that world. That's why I look around in that world and I see everything. When I came into this world, I was a little baby. I didn't know much about what I saw. But as I grew, I began to learn. We grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus because we've been born into this world. And I can tell you that when I first came into this heavenly world, I didn't understand everything. All that I saw, I didn't understand. But as I've grown down through the years, I've come to understand my environment and my surroundings more and more. And you will too. And let me tell you this. When you're born into this world, it is a temporal life, and you can die out of it. When you're born into that world, you can't never die out of it. You can forget about sinning. I know somebody said, well, you're going to sin, you're going to backslide, you're going to go away. But I tell you again, the Bible said that if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out from us that it might be made manifest. They were not of us. That's pretty plain, isn't it? So then he that is born of God, he cannot sin because he is born of God. The seed of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of faith, as to his justification remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God, so he doesn't have to worry about that. What he needs to do is be about his father's business. Have you ever considered this? A lot of folks would dispute what I'm saying about the new birth. But have you ever considered the fact that God saved you? Are you listening to me now? Somebody said, well, there's one thing about it. You're going to sin and you're going to go to hell. You're going to sin and you're going to be in problems. But has it ever occurred to you that God saved you while you were yet in your sins? Has that ever occurred to you? Can anybody remember how good they were that caused God to look in their direction and come down there and save them? Or can anybody remember how wretched they were and were utterly amazed at the fact that God considered them to save them? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So, as I say again, if he saved us while we were yet in our sins, and in that saved us from our sins, I'm sure that he did save us from our sins. And I feel reasonably sure that he's able to keep that, as Paul said, which I've committed unto him against that great day. And the Bible said, no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, that ye are elect according to his foreknowledge, and it was given to you in him before you was ever born into the world. The prophet said, before I was ever formed into the womb, I was called to be a prophet. So then the callings and gifts of God are without repentance. We receive these things. We can't make ourselves a Christian. We can't make ourselves a prophet. We can't decide that we want to be a minister. You can't do it. It has to be a calling. If there's a calling there, if it was a foreordination to eternal life, a foreordination unto a calling or an office, then you're coming to it. Otherwise, you can't take the priesthood to yourself. There's no way you can do that. You don't get good enough to be a preacher. You don't do that. You don't live long enough to be a preacher. You don't do that. It's something that's given to you and God. That's why the Bible said, let every man abide in his calling. There are people that are predestinated to go to hell. They are predestinated. The Bible said, ungodly, wicked men that you can't talk to, though they have the chance and opportunity as to repentance, in that God said, it's not my will that any should perish, not even the wicked. I'd rather them come to repentance. But in that he foresaw that there would be wicked and wouldn't come to repentance, he foreordained that they be burned in the lake of fire. And the Bible said these are ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, that is taking full advantage of this day of grace to do their own evil thing. And he said, and some of these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. When he made them in his foreknowledge, he knew that they would burn in the lake of fire. He had already predestinated them in his mind as to foreknowledge because he foresaw that they would not do right. So, a lot we could say about that. But as many as were foreordained unto eternal life. The Bible said that they believed when Paul preached the gospel, so the rest of them didn't. He shook his raiment, said, your blood be upon your own head. From the Old Testament, it says, watchmen, what of the night? He said, if you don't want them, I'll require their blood at your hand. Paul, being a watchman, he preached to them, and they didn't listen. He said, now your blood be upon your own head. I go to the Gentiles. Jews, no respect of person with God. All right, let's stand together, and let's read just a little bit of the word, and let us comment just a little bit here. Chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, the book of Revelation. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 5, And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. You can be seated. If you'll notice, we teach that to be kings and rulers. People get a little perturbed when we say something about gods. The only thing that they see is that there is a great vast beyond called heaven. All of us are children of God, and we're going over into that great wonderful city and great wonderful place. And all of us is going to be happy and free, and that's going to be it. You know, and all of us are going to be there, and everybody's going to get the same reward. And that's yes. All of the promises of God are yea. Paul said there's none of them that is nay. He said, I didn't speak to you as yea and nay. So he tells us to let our conversation be yea and nay in this world. He said, I didn't speak unto you as yea and nay. All of the promises are yea and amen. There's no nay to it. So we'll say it like this. It is a true fact that this is yea as to all of us going over there if we are Christians. But you are altogether wrong if you think that everybody is going to be rewarded alike, because they're not. So I say that there are going to be some people that are going to be kings. And as it is in this world, you think of kings and leaders that rule over people, and in that world to come, you don't think about any kings or rulers ruling over anyone. But see, if there is no such thing as rulers, why does the Bible say that God will make him ruler over 5 cities or over 10 cities? Or why does the Bible use the terms of kings? I say that there will be kings that will rule over people and heavenly providences. And you would say, well, I don't believe that. Someone would say, well, that can't be so, Brother Pike. But then What does the scripture say? The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. What did I read to you? It says, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. That's a lot of folks. Out of every kindred. Somebody says, well, not the black man. It says every kindred and tongue and every people and every nation. So it says, and hath made us unto our gods kings. Kings. As a matter of fact, these are kings right here. As they say this, they are kings, 24 kings. The elders are sitting around the throne of the great king of all of the kings. He's sitting there as king of kings, and they are the kings that he's king over. So then here are the kings. And they throw their crowns down at his feet, worship him as the King of kings and the Lord of lords, saying that thou hast made us kings. Now listen now. And priests. You know, I say a lot of times that we are a royal priesthood, interceding for Christ, standing in Christ's stead while his body is absent, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto God. But he says, and we shall reign on the earth. How many know what reigning is when a king reigns? He shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. There is a rule, a power of rule, where there's going to be kings and leaders. You know, I say this real cheerful-like for this reason. A lot of people get into a state of laxity and unconcern. You know, and they don't want to do anything for God. They'd rather that you do something for God and rather I would do something for God. And they don't want to do anything for God. You know, when it comes to doing anything for God, they don't want to do anything for God. They say, well, praise God, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I got everything that you got. You know, you do that. You can do that. That's your calling. You feel good about that. But I'd rather make money and I'd rather do this. And I'd rather be involved in the world and I'd rather do the things of the world. You know, but on the other hand, there are some that come to God that get caught in this laxity. You know, and they get the idea that they're going to be rewarded just as much as the other man that is laboring. Well, let me tell you something, folks. That isn't going to be. The Bible said every man will be rewarded according to his labor. God is no respecter person. The Lord Jesus Christ sits on the throne as the preeminence of all preeminence, not just because God put him up there, but God made him a man just like I'm a man. And the Bible said he learned obedience by the things he suffered, being our example, not that he had done any wrong. But the Bible said through the suffering he was made perfect and become the captain of our salvation. And he did more than any man, reached the greatest place of suffering more than any man. His countenance was marred more than any man. And so his glory in heaven is more than any man. He reached the deepest depths of suffering, so he reached the highest heights of glory. See, God did that. And he said to you and I, not respect a person, not even to his own son. He said to you and I, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No one shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. And he tells us to be therefore perfect, that this ministry is set here for the perfecting of the saints. And he tells us to go on to be perfect. I know I say this so often, somebody says, nobody's perfect, Brother Pike. You know, somebody that wants to chew on the cud, suck on the weed, or go on doing the things of the world, they say, nobody's perfect. But the Bible said Job was a perfect man. And the Bible said Mark, the perfect man that is among you. And the Bible said God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the tree. So there are perfect men. There are perfect women in the earth. So we see that there are some that's going to be rewarded differently. According to your labor, according to your deeds that you've done in your body, God is going to reward you. Paul said, let us go on to a full reward. A full reward. Now, if he speaks of a full reward, then that must mean that there is something outside of a full reward. Let us go on into a full reward. In anything you do for God, then you're going to receive a reward, whether in this world or in the world to come. Let us go on to a full reward. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm just burning with the zeal to get up before the crowds and tell them who I am. He isn't talking about that. He wants you to burn with the zeal of God to say, Brother Taylor, Brother John, Brother Scotty, Brother Richard, I'm just burning with the zeal to wash your feet. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He come and left us an example. That's what you need to do, is get in the foot washing business. And then when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the Bible said in due season, God will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, then he said, I'm going to abase you. So you need to get with God. You need to get the understanding of God. You need to learn the way of God. You need to learn to serve. That's what you need to do. So then here you are, looking at the scriptures this morning. What does it say? It says, and there will be kings. And the Bible speaks of the kings without the gates. These are the kings that are within the gates. But it speaks of the kings without the gates. And all of these great kings, the Bible said, they will come into the city to cast their crowns down at his feet, to throw their thrones down at his feet, to show that he is the great Lord of lords and the King of kings. So we look again here and we see that there are places of preeminence in heaven. There are ruling places. Just like in this world, there are millionaires. But on the other hand, there are billionaires. And there are great celebrities as presidents and kings, rulers, as it was in the days of Moses, rulers over 50, and rulers over hundreds, and rulers over thousands. So then we see that God is raising up men and women to do something for him. If you slack on God, if you just kind of play around, as we say, and you don't go on to a full reward, you're not going to receive a full reward. If you don't go on to really do something for God and to make a real sacrifice for God, then you're not going to have very much. The Bible even speaks of some people getting in as if by fire. They'll get in as if by fire. But the Bible said they won't bring any fruit to perfection. See, they won't bring any fruit to perfection. The Bible speaks of holiness and you having holiness. But it says perfecting holiness unto the Lord. And it speaks of the holy apostles and prophets. There are holy men and godly men. God is saying some will get in as if by fire. It may be by fire that you get in. That is, all of your works would be burned. You just can't stay afloat, as we say. You know, you're just up and down, just like a seesaw, in and out, like a swing. You know, you just can't stay in tune with God. You just can't live an overcoming life. You just can't buckle down and turn loose of the world. You've got to have your hands dabbling in this and a little bit of that, and then you want to go into heaven on the side. See, some folks will make enough effort that they will get in. Now, that's going to take a lot of effort. The Bible said many shall try and not be able. The Methodists will try, the Baptists will try, the Pentecostals will try, the Catholics will try, the Bethlehemites will try. Many of them shall try and not be able to make it. They're going to religiously try to go to heaven. They're going to conform to formalities of going to church, of giving money. They're going to do a lot of the ritualistics. They're going to try, but they're not going to be able to get in. See, there's one door, the Lord Jesus Christ. That door is open in heaven. And if you go to heaven, you got to go through the name of Jesus. You've got to go through the entrance of Christ. You've got to be baptized in the name of the Lord to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, both in your spirit and in your body, because as to the heavenly water of the inner man, so is the earthly water to the outer man, and the earthly water to the outer man represents that you are to receive or have received the heavenly water to the inner man, whether you go one way or another. So then in this, we see that you've got to have his spirit or you're none of his. And then if you do have His Spirit, you've got to grow from childhood. And the Holy Ghost is given to you for that growth. You don't have any way to know the right way unless you have the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, and the Holy Ghost shall guide you into all truth and into all righteousness. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't know what righteousness is. You're going to be mixed up in all kinds of things. You might be a believer. You might even get to the point to where you're sanctified. But the Bible said, having been sanctified, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, then at least seven other spirits or devils or demons will come to you and force their way into that clean, sanctified place that you have for God. And they'll take over, and then you're contaminated, and the end of that man is worse than the beginning. So to believe is one thing, to become sanctified is another thing. And the Bible says that you can even go so far as to be made partakers of the Holy Ghost, in that you can taste of the Spirit of God, taste of the Word of God, taste of the powers of God to come. You can taste of those things. That is, the rain is poured out on the just and on the unjust. And you can feel this rain. You could even get healing in your body. You could feel the blessings of God. You could feel deliverance from devils, but still not have the infilling of the Holy Ghost and die and go to hell. For the Bible said, being made partakers of the Holy Ghost to this extent, then if ye fall away, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation that shall devour the adversaries of God. So we see that if we're going to reign as kings, we're going to have the Holy Ghost. If we're going to be Christians, we're going to have the Holy Ghost. If we're going to follow after righteousness, then we're going to have the Holy Ghost. If we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then ye shall be witnesses for me. And he said, in Jerusalem first and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And did you know that that makes me to know that whether it is a Methodist, a Baptist, a Catholic, whether it is a Church of Christ, whether it is a Church of God, whether it is one of the Pentecostals, whatever it might be, whether he's in the Church of God or the UPC or whatever, if he don't have the Holy Ghost, he hath no business preaching. He doesn't even know how to follow after righteousness. All of these hundreds and millions of preachers in the world today, scattered across the world, trying to preach and trying to lead, when they don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, they don't have the infilling of the Spirit. And even though they might be sincere and might be believers, they have no business trying to lead the people of God. And that's why the world is in such a mess as it is today. That's why you've got so many religions, so many views, so many different things. It's like I said concerning the baker situation. I told my people numbers of years back, I said, leave that thing alone. It's wrong. I said, it's corrupt. It's rotten. See, the man was already corrupt. The man had already become rotten. And so it wasn't anything for him to build the little parks and the playlands of the world. It wasn't anything to him to take millions of dollars to build things of the world, to draw those people into the web of Satan. He opened the door. He was already corrupt. He had a corrupt mind. And though he was very religious, just like Cain was, yet he was corrupt. And he drawed all of those hundreds of thousands of people right into the web of Lucifer. And many others have done the same thing. Jim Baker did it. Oral Roberts has done it. Oral Roberts turned to corruption, began to let people deck out in shorts, jump hurdles, built schools for them, become corrupt, paid a terrible price for it, and drawed millions of people into the web of Satan. And they're bound hand and feet in that thing right now. And I've heard, whether right or wrong, that the Methodist people got into a line and began to picket around where he was preaching, not wanting him, said they didn't want him. And there was something said that he said he was going to turn and go back to the Pentecostals because the Pentecostals showed him mercy. That's all right, you know, if that's the way it's supposed to be. Humbart, as far as I know, they said Mr. Humbart left his position that they gave him at PTL because he wanted mercy for Jim Baker. And I pray for Jim Baker. I pray for Tammy. I pray for Oral Roberts. I pray for all of them. Have been doing it for a long time. I pray for the Pope, Mr. Reagan's, all of them. But here's the thing. They said that Mr. Humbart left because one man crossed him and they didn't see eye to eye. Must have been one of the leaders, so he backed down, he left. See, I know for sure that those things, like Mr. Humbart said when he preached Elvis into heaven, that they're wrong. He went and prayed with Elvis. So he preached Elvis into heaven according to what they said. And so did Jimmy Swagger, until Jimmy got tore up about it, realized he was wrong, and come back and apologize and told the people he's wrong. Here's the thing. It's like somebody said that Brother Jim made the statement, "I've never seen my mother in shorts." And I think that's wonderful. He boasted of it. But I don't think there was anything said about pants, because when I met his wife, she was wearing them, and the people that worked in his office there was dressed out in pants. I may be wrong, but I got a feeling that if his mother was a good old Pentecostal, he never saw her in pants, because they used to didn't do that. So I know when the Bible speaks of that appertaineth unto a man, the Bible said don't let a woman wear that. That pertaineth unto a man. I know that God isn't speaking about the natural clothing. He's speaking of a woman taking on authority. That was a type. A woman that's a bossy woman. A woman that takes on authority. A woman that talks back to her husband. A woman that's contrary. A woman that tries to rule the house. In the sight of God, this woman is doomed and damned and cut off. She is a haughty person, and she is taking on that pertaineth to the man. For the Bible said he is the one to have authority. I suffer not the woman to teach or to have authority, but she's commanded to be in silence. A shame for her to speak in the church. If she wants to learn anything, let her learn from her husband at home. So I said that to say this. You strain at a gnat a lot of times, you can swallow a camel. You're supposed to go on to a full reward. God tells us to go on to a full reward. We're not to mess around with the things of the world. We're not to do the things of the world. We may not get people to do the things that we tell them to do, but we're supposed to tell them. We're supposed to preach to them, because, as I said, if the sword comes and takes away the people, then the preacher or the watchman on the wall is going to be to blame for it, because God said he would require the blood at their hand, seeing that they did not warn them. So see, I warn you here, over and more over, I warn you. Paul said, "I've ceased not to warn you for a number of years." Here, I've warned you for a number of years. Men like Whitefield, they tell me he preached 18,000 sermons in about 39 years. That's a lot of warning, isn't it? Even Abraham Lincoln heard him. Abraham Lincoln commented as to what a great man he was. He even come to Georgia. I understand he stirred Georgia. He was one that was principally for the move, starting the move of God, principally the one. Now, and I understand that John Wesley got his lead off from him and brought up the Methodist Church. But I said that to say this. He preached 18,000 sermons, I believe they said. Now, I don't know how many sermons I've preached to you, just to you, in the last numbers of years. I believe they said yesterday that I ministered to him 6 hours. That would be equal to 3 to 6 sermons of the average preacher. But I've ministered like that for years to you. I've been consistently ministering to you. I've stayed there and I ministered to one group and the turnover and they go and then another comes in and another comes in. And very few of them is there through the whole thing. But I ministered to you. I've ministered all night long numbers of times to you. See, and we ministered day and night ever since we've been in the ministry. And really come to the things of God and the enlightenment of God. All of those years, I have continually ministered day and night somewhere to somebody all the time. Because that's been my heart. That's been my life. If Whitefield ministered 18,000 sermons, I don't know how many that Wesley ministered. And I've ministered the sermons I've ministered. And the many other people, even Old Roberts, even Jim Baker, even Jimmy Swagger, even Jerry Falwell, though those men are in error, yet they have preached concerning the word. And Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, herein I rejoice. Whatever their motives is, I still rejoice over the fact that they're telling about the Lord Jesus. And they're giving praise to God. though it isn't going to do them any good. The Bible said praise is comely for the upright. But nevertheless, they do that. If we preached all of these messages, all of these sermons of the hundreds and millions of preachers throughout the world, folks, it looks like the church ought to be ready to go home if preaching is set there for their perfecting. Not that we're going to perfect you in making you any better as to the way you live, but rather perfect your faith in the Word of God as to what He did for you that you might receive salvation by His works. And then you turning with your works as to a conformity of that which you've heard, trying to perfect holiness in your body, even as God has perfected it for you to your spirit unto salvation. And you're perfecting it in your body that He might be able to use your body in this world. Live in your body. Though your salvation is by grace, though you don't merit anything, though all of your works will get you nowhere at all, except you believe in the grace of God. But your works are beneficial to you if you are a Christian by faith and virtue of the works of Christ. If you are a Christian by faith and virtue of the works of Christ, then your works with your faith can help bring your body into a position to where you can mightily be used of God. If you don't go that way, and if you're careless, you may get in, but it's Ephphatha. Ephphatha, and the Bible said, all of your works will be burned. All of your works. That is, God will not be able to use your works because all of your works were faulty. A tree may bear fruit, and we must bear fruit, but the fruit may be faulty. So then it says, and all of your works burn, but ye yourselves being saved, and that as if by fire. One fiery trial right after another, one suffering right after another, one chastisement right after another, up and down, in and out, trying to hold on, staggering around, stumbling to and fro, can't get control of yourself, can't really stand up and be a pillar in the temple of God and do something for God that people might lean on you. See, you might make it, but it's Ephphatha, and all of your works will be burned. But the Bible tells us to go on. Bring works. Bring fruit. Bear much fruit. Bring it to God. Let God praise you, as Paul said, in a good thing. For He does through the lips of them that live around you. God Himself praises you in a good work. Why is it that we don't praise God more? God praises us. Why is it that we don't praise God? Why is it we don't give glory to God with all things that we do? God gives His glory unto us to make us one with Him in His glory. Even Moses and Elijah appeared in His glory. Why is it that we don't give glory unto God in doing these things? It was like Jesus said, the Lord spoke to Him. The heavenly voice, God, that He spoke to the Lord Himself or to Christ. And the voice was that I have glorified My name. Jesus said, Father, glorify Thy name. Just from what I'm doing, from my works, from my efforts, from my sufferings, from the things that I do in the earth, let this glorify Your name. Father, glorify Your name. He looked down saying, well pleased, I have glorified My name. Through you, I've glorified My name. I've sent you in My name. You came in My name, not in another's name, but you come in My name. And I've worked great miracles through that name. And I've done great things through that name. For as He said to Israel, I've chosen you to make a name for Myself. And I've done great things through that name in that people have praised Me and give Me glory. I have glorified My name. He said, and I'm going to glorify it some more. And you know, through the body of Jesus today, if you bring your works to God, if you bring your body in subjection to God, He can still glorify His name through you. Through me, through whoever will come, whosoever will be holy. Mary was a holy woman, a virgin. God glorified His name through Mary, a woman, by bringing Christ Jesus into the world. Many other great women have done great things. Paul spoke of his women workers, of how great they were. And through them, God glorified His name. Through prophets in the Old Testament, God glorified His name. So in the Spirit, there's neither male nor female, When you come to God, God will glorify His name through you. You're able to do things for God, and He will glorify His name through you. When you say need the male and the female, that doesn't mean that a woman is supposed to start preaching. A lot of women use that scripture to start preaching, you know, and Mary going to the tomb, they say this was the first preacher, you know. But that's foolishness. God didn't say that, nor was He talking about that. See, you've got to remember that in your body, you're still male and female. And God speaks of the woman keeping silence and not taking the authority because she is a type of the church. And Jesus is a type of the head, or He is the head. But that we look on Him in His body, knowing Him after the flesh, we don't know Him anymore after the flesh. So He came through the types and the shadows to be the head. We, as the people in the earth, as male and female, we show types unless we are born again. And if we are of the Spirit, then we're no longer a type. We're actually the body, the bone and bone and flesh of flesh. So then we see that God wants the woman to stay in a certain place that she might represent the church and be under subjection to her husband, and the man to stay in his place to love the church, that is his wife, even as Christ loved the church. So we see this is a great thing. God is wanting to perfect holiness in us. Holiness, and holiness is when we obey the Word. For God is the Word, and the Word is the Spirit of holiness. Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So in believing in the Word, conforming to the Word, we become the Word according to our measure, just like Jesus did without measure. And thus perfection comes into human bodies. And the body itself is redeemed. For the Bible said the creature itself shall be redeemed from corruption. God has paid the price for the creature, which is the body. And the creature itself, even the body, shall be delivered from sin, just like the spiritual man has been delivered. And we're going on with the preaching for this purpose. I'm not set here to perfect you to the extent that Christ has already perfected forever them that are sanctified. But I'm set here to perfect your faith, that you might receive that perfection that Christ hath for you, that He hath wrought for you at Calvary. And in believing in what I say, then you become perfect because you believe in what He hath done for you. So then we're sitting here, or standing here preaching to you, sitting here listening. And throughout the world, hundreds and millions of sermons go forth. See, for the perfecting of the saints, that God might return and pick up a bride without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. You may get in, as I say, as if by fire. But it's better to abide in His order. If God says a woman's not to preach, why should a woman try to preach? What does she want to do? Gather a crowd around, have somebody to make a fuss over her, and die and go to hell? And if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. All of them go to hell? See, why doesn't she abide in the Word of God? The same way with those that don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, whether man or woman. See, if you don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, then you fall into the feminine perspective. And if you are in the feminine perspective, you're in the world perspective. And that means that you are altogether without right to preach the gospel, even if you are a man. So, no one, he said, can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. There is no way that you can call Him your Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, He isn't your Lord. For He said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. So we need to get down to business, folks, about salvation and about religion. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? What are you trying to tell us? Well, God brings something to my mind. Maybe He wants me to mention it. I hadn't planned to mention it. Hadn't even thought upon it. But my wife said that Brother Woods called over here and said, Brother Woods said that God had taken him to a scripture in Jeremiah, I believe it was, or said something to him from the Bible and said he had went there to check it out, said God had spoke to him. And said, I have set a standard in the earth, speaking at this time. I have set a standard. You know, the Bible said concerning the prophet, I've set you over the nations that you might pluck up, that you might plant. And said, I have set a standard in the earth. And according to what Sister Betty said, Brother Woods left on the answering system, said, and this standard that I have set in the earth, I have given it to Brother Pike. So whether that's right, whether that's wrong, I do know one thing. I know the Bible is His standard. And he said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I will lift up a standard against him. And I know that the enemy is coming in like a flood right now. And I know that this is the standards of God. This is the word of God. And the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak his standard or preach his word. So this is what we believe in, and this is what we're teaching. And we try to teach the wholesome word of God. Try to teach the right thing so that you can have the right thing. But you that will not conform to it, and you that will not work with me, you that have your mind on eating and drinking and on the flesh and the things of the world, and your ambitions is to go out and be in the world and do the things of the world, always wanting the things of the world and the praise of mankind, then I can't help you. I can't help you. What I say to you will only doom and damn your soul. So, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God and you want God to use you, then you're going to have to come on in and get right. You're going to have to get filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and get down to business with God. It's like we was talking a little bit up in Alaska concerning the UPC. The UPC has the right mode of baptism. How do you know that? They have the right mode of baptism. And they believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, but a lot of them are not filled with the Holy Ghost. They're only believers. And they're doing the things of the world, and they're confident that they have the Holy Ghost. And they're in great error. Many of those people are in great error. But they do have the right baptism. And they do believe in one God, though many of them are mixed up as to how they express it, because it certainly isn't the way they express it. Many of them. But on the other hand, there are those that are not in what is called the oneness movement, but the Trinity movement. And there are many of them people that have the Holy Ghost, that are loving people, but they don't have the right mode of baptism. And many of them believe in the Son of God, which is right. They believe there was actually a Son of God. And they're right, because there is a Son of God. But I look at these, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, whether it's Trinity, or Oneness, or Two-ness, whatever it is, and I have found out in searching out those things that they're all in error. Every one of them has gone to the wrong way. They've gone to the extreme. But among them, they have some truths. They have some good things. And what they need to do is come together. Every one of them should realize that they are wrong and in error on many things, and they should acknowledge it, and they should come together to the Word of God. And every one of them get on the Word of God. Stay right with the Word of God. It'll work. I never will forget when I was down in the areas of Columbus and LaGrange, Georgia, a man from over in Alabama that was over a movement, the secretary of a holiness movement. I was preaching there at an assembly of God, and this fellow was the secretary of another movement, and he found out I was there, and he came over to talk with me. I never will forget, it took us all night long. I talked with him, and I told him before we begin our conversation, I said, now you want to talk with me, and I'm willing to talk with you. I said, but there's one thing that we're going to have to understand before we start our conversation. I said, the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes, and I said, you feel like you're right. And he let me know, he did. I said, but I also feel like I'm right. I said, now there's one thing about it. We know this is right. I said, the book's been proven. I said, so what we're going to have to do is use this for an absolute. It's just like the law. The judge may think he's right. The lawyer may think he's right. But they go back to the law, and that's what they have to accept. I said, in during the time of our conversation, when I'm offered the word, you're to bring me back to it. And when you're offered the word, I'm to bring you back to it. I said, and then we'll see what the outcome is. When the daylight come or when the morning come, he said, got up and said, well, glory to God. He said, you're right, Brother Pike. He said, it's right. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. He's still baptized in Jesus' name. He's got a church. He got out of that movement he was in, and he's been going on with God. See, there's one thing for sure. The UPC, where they're off of the Bible, they're wrong. And the Church of God, where they're off of the Bible, they're wrong. The Methodists, where they're off of the Bible, they're wrong. Even Wesley believed in sanctification. See, so all of them has had something good to contribute to the things of God down through the years.
But God has kind of exiled each one of them because they've done their own thing and went their own way, and they've got ecclesiastical, and they've determined to be what they're wanting to be, and they've boycotted and they've cut out the other people. Now let me say this to you. Maybe I've mentioned it and want to say it to you again. It's like I told the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen over in Alaska. I said, you know, and I said this to a number of others that was affiliated with them standing there. I said, you can get so protective, overly protective, motherly-like, until you can become an ecclesiastical bond yourself. I said, and you can get the idea that you're standing out here and everybody else is coming to you because you picked up a Catholic and a Methodist and a Baptist and whatever over to your supper, whatever. I said, and at the same time, you may not be aware that you're so ecclesiastical that you've got your own little thing going. And you may say over and over, no doctrine, no doctrine. Leave your doctrine, Baptist and Methodist and Catholic. Come over here, we can all come together. No doctrine. And I informed some of them along these lines that you may say no doctrine, but in all reality you've got a doctrine and your doctrine is no doctrine. And you've got your little ecclesiastical bond and you're freezing everybody else's ideas and opinions out and you're freezing their doctrine out while you set your own ecclesiastical way and you're controlling everything and making everybody take a bow to you. See, and that's the way that a lot of them are doing it. They're just as denominational as anybody else. They've got their own denomination. See, like I said about the man concerning Brother Branham's followers, when a man said, it's all over, it's gone, I said, it is. He said, yes. I said, what is your preacher doing teaching you? He said, well, my preacher tells him it's all gone. Brother Branham said, it's all gone. I said, well, why don't you tell him to sit down? I said, it looks to me like he's real shrewd. He's making you his subject, and you're supporting his cause and his ministry while he tells you there ain't nothing to do. See, people are shrewd and cunning. What we want to do, folks, is stay with the Bible. Brother Pike is not smart enough to lead you nor to figure it out. Neither is Brother Shakarian, which I met. He's a fine man. Neither is Brother Roberts or Brother Swaggard or Brother Falwell or any other minister, UPC or Baptist or Methodist. The Bible said in that day, Jesus Christ himself alone shall be exalted. So there is none that is able to guide you and help you except the Holy Ghost. He will guide you into all truth and all righteousness. And he will only come into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as to members in particular. And wherever he's at, it is not you speaking as a minister, but the Heavenly Father speaking within you. And the Bible said, and they shall all be taught of God, and let all the world keep silent, for God is in his temple. And when you are delivered up as an individual, whether you be a preacher or not, when you're delivered up before the people, take no thought for what ye shall say. For in the selfsame hour it shall be given you what ye shall say, for it shall not be you speaking, but your Heavenly Father speaking from within you, the Holy Ghost speaking from within you. So then I said all of that to say this, there is a way. And Jesus said, I'm that way. If you can't come that way, then that means you're lost. But if you can come that way, then that's wonderful. I want you to stand with me. A lot of things we'd like to say, but I just felt like exhorting you a little bit this morning. God is good. God is the Savior. God is the healer. God will deliver you from oppression, from demon spirits, from self-exaltation. If you'll get it out of your mind that you're somebody special, and instead of thinking yourself to be a prophet, begin to take on a spirit of humility and try to conform to the word and way of God to perfect the love of God in your heart, then he'll use you. Otherwise, you're just going to run as one that beateth the air, and you're never going to be used of God. It's like sending Lynn up to Alaska. Lynn's never come and told me he was a prophet, nor he was an evangelist, nor he was a pastor, nor anything else. But the Lord reminded me that Lynn has constantly been studying the Bible, listening to tapes for a number of years, diligently been searching. Brother Jimmy Kirk is the same way, diligently searched. God wants to use people that are preparing themselves, not people that are boasting themselves to be something when they're nothing. The Bible said when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know.
running around as a novice and don't know nothing. So people that want to be used of God, God is willing to use you. He wants to use you. If you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, apply yourself like Paul did for the many years under Gamaliel. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe there's that much time. Well, in the first place, you don't know whether it is or not. It could be 10 billion years. You don't know. And in the second place, you say, there's just not much time. What difference does it make? You know? It don't make no difference if there ain't much time. What's that got to do with it? Or with you? If there ain't but 2 days left, what business has you got to jump out there and say that you're a prophet and you're to preach and mess up everything God's doing if it ain't but 2 days? If there ain't enough time for you to prepare yourself, then there ain't enough time for you to be a preacher. You need to sit down and just be quiet. If he called you to preach, he's got enough time for you. And if there ain't enough time for you to learn, follow his system, then he don't need you. So we follow the ways of the Lord, and we want to do the ways of the Lord. God wants to use every one of you. And he'll use you according to the measure of the Spirit of God that he's given to you, or according to the measure of the love and understanding of God in your heart, he'll use you. But you have to not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but to think soberly according to the measure of faith that God has dealt unto you. You don't need to go around thinking about what a great prophet you are, and the televisions are just waiting, and the people are just waiting to sway when you talk and when you get up before them, and you just can't hardly stand it, and you're going to have a nervous breakdown because you're getting older all the time, and somebody don't turn you loose, you're just not going to look good for the magazine. You don't need to think like that. You need to think, Lord, I need to apply myself. He had no beauty that any should desire. He was beaten. He was bruised more than any man. He was torn. And you need to think of the sacrifice and efforts of fasting and praying and doing without and applying yourself to where you can be beneficial to God. Forget about all this other foolishness. A lot of stars are falling. A lot of people are coming down. A lot of flashy things. God's doing away with them. Forget about the glamour and the glitter. A real man of God, he ain't got his mind on that. He ain't got his thoughts on that. He ain't looking for that. He's got his mind on one thing. Not my will be done, but thy will. Paul said to know him in the fellowship of his suffering and to be made conformable unto his death. And the Bible said, equip yourselves with a mind to suffer, not a mind to be flashy in the eyes of the public. So real, true men of God are praying and fasting and seeking God, and they're trying to take the gospel to bring the end of the world. They're not making any plans to set themselves up a little kingdom or paradise or something in this world to where they can be the king of it or the ruler of it. These things that pertain to life as to natural things, when you follow God, they automatically come. A lot of you men are reaping greater benefits. You have more money to spend and better cars to drive because you came to God and you gave to God and God has blessed you and you're in better shape financially. You're being blessed in a great way. See, because you did that, others are not blessed so much because he that sows little gathers little. And then on the other hand, there's the world. There's a prosperity that is of the devil. And the Bible said to get it, you'll be cut off in the midst of your days and in the end you'll be a fool. But the prosperity and exaltation that comes from God is without end. And the Bible said, his blessing maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So, it's like the writer that wrote the song, Satan's Jewel Crown. I don't know if we've ever heard it or not. I used to sing it quite a bit. Satan hath a jewel crown, but God himself also hath a jewel crown. And this beautiful crown is studded or filled with the jewels of converted people. And these are jewels in your crown, your great crown of life, your soul being crowned with life, and throughout eternity, these will be the sparkling radiance of eternal life in your crown of living. How beautiful, how beautiful. When I come to make up my jewels, Jesus said, I'll spare you as a man spareth his son. Let's not strive for the world's jewel crown, but let's strive for God's crown. Let's sing a little chorus, can we? Let's sing, I love him. I love him. I love him all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. You know, people want to be discovered, waiting to be discovered. But it reminds me of a little article I read one time concerning Hollywood. This little article explained how that thousands of people wanted to be discovered, and they wanted to be a movie star. This writer said, and many, many people come to California, come out into Hollywood, and they half starve to death, and they can't make a living, and they're in terrible circumstances. And he pointed out how that there was talent scouts that traveled around continually that would come to your town and you would have your opportunity to be a celebrity. The ones that had applied themselves to learn to be an actress or an actor. One that had diligently worked at it to be a dancer or to be some kind of a singer, sooner or later, as we say, they were discovered. I read a little article the other day about a man gave his testimony at the Full Gospel Businessman. He's won 2 Oscars. I don't know what good it do you get an Oscar. But anyway, he's won 2 Oscars, and he had them, gold Oscars, you know. And that's a great celebrity, you know. But he told how that his nerves broke down, how he had to come to God, how he was losing out. But he told how he was discovered as to his talent. And he was just a little boy that had a Jewish dad that was a drunkard and lived around New York or somewhere, New Jersey, up there, I forget just where. And how that Warner Brothers' old studio was across from him at that time. And told how it all came about. His dad was a barber, and the man happened to come over and heard him playing or singing, whatever it was. And suggested that his daddy give him singing lessons or playing lessons, musical lessons. And, of course, they wasn't able to do it, but something worked out that his uncle kind of helped in the situation. From that, he got a start. He was discovered. He became a great, outstanding man. And of course, they had a movie that you'd be real familiar with if I called the name of it. But he got a part in that. And on he went. He was discovered. A lot of hard work before that discovery. And you know, that's what you need to do. You need to apply yourself. You need to get into the things of God. If you're faithful over a little, God will make you faithful over a lot. But if you're just waiting to be discovered, I've got some real good advice for you. Forget about it, because rather than being discovered, you're just going to be uncovered. And they're going to find out that you're not fit for the job. And they're going to bypass you because of your self-exaltation and thinking too highly of yourself when you haven't proved anything. The Bible said, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove things and then have rejoicing in what you've done. And some of you haven't done anything when it comes to really doing something for God. So you haven't proved anything. So you need to get on your knees. You need to get in touch with God. You need to call on the Lord. And then you'll find yourself beginning to do some little things. And they'll begin to mount up. And then you can rejoice in that. Otherwise, you're just running to and fro as one that beateth the air. You don't know where you're going, and if anybody follows you, they're going to be in the same mess you're in, and they're going to crash up, and God certainly can't afford to put you up as a leader. hard enough for true leaders. They really have to call on God and follow God. It's certainly not going to take somebody that half the time they're melancholy and half the time they're fussing and fighting. Half of the time they're over here and half of the time they're over yonder and they're just running to and fro. Don't do nothing. Don't know nothing. And can't tell them nothing. They ain't going to listen to nothing. God certainly can't use nothing like that. That would really wreck the church. So let's get together. Let's love the Lord and help the rest of them come together that we've been talking about. Can we sing another little chorus together? God is good. Isn't God good? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. You love Jesus, sing it again. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild storm, but in Jesus, I am safe evermore. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. See this little one come and kneel down on the altar. And I again think about what the Bible said, a little child shall lead them. I had a visitation from the Lord last night. I was laying on my bed. I'd been trying to pray a little. I went and lay down. And sometimes I don't go and lay down. I just try to stay with Him as much as I can. I'd gone and laid down, so He woke me up. And the room was filled with His presence. And He let me know He wanted me to get up right away and go and talk with Him. And I did. Got up and I went and talked with Him. And it was so sweet. So sweet. God's doing great things, isn't that right? Let's see if we can sing this little chorus while you got your eyes closed. Come and go with me to glory land, where all is joy, there life begins. All sorrows gone, there is no sin. For there's no death in glory land. Can you sing with me? Come and go with me to glory land, where all is joy, there life begins. All sorrows gone, and there's no sin. For there's no death in glory land. Can you sing it one more time? While we're singing this, the altars are open. Come and go with me to glory land. Joy, life began. All sorrow gone. And there's no sin, for there's no death in glory land. Can you sing it with me? Come and go with me to glory land, where all is joy and life begins, all sorrow gone, and there's no sin, for there's no death in glory land. I want to sing it one more time. Come and go with me to glory land, where all is joy. All sorrow gone. And there's no sin. For there's no death. Thin glory land. You love the Lord? Could you sing that one more time? How many of you would like to dwell in glory land? Would you? Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. We say glory land. Father, glorify these with the glory I had with thee before the world ever was. We're glad you're here. Glad to see David from Carolinas. David is down with us. Glad to see Nita. She's here with us, my brother's daughter. If I've overlooked you, forgive me. We're glad to have you here. Every one of you, we're glad to have you here. Sometimes I see you, sometimes I don't. But if I don't make mention of you, it isn't because we're not glad to have you here. All right, seems like you learned that, even if I can't remember it too good. Let's sing it. Come and go with me to glory land, where all is joy and life begins, all sorrows gone. For there's no death. Then one more time. Come and go with me to glory land, where all is joy and life begins, all sorrow's gone, where there's no sin, there's no death, then glory land. Let's sing this little chorus together. Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives forevermore. Oh, he's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated, gone.
And He lives forever. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, He's gone. And the stone is rolled back gone. And the tomb is empty gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone. Oh, the death triumphant gone. Sin is defeated gone. And He lives forevermore. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. I want you to lift your hands up with me and close your eyes. I want to pray for these prayer cloths. The sister down in South Georgia, Fitzgerald or wherever it is at, she wanted some and didn't get to get the cloth. She had to leave. But we're going to pray over them anyway. So I'd like for you to stretch your hands out in this direction, stretch your hearts out in this direction. And while we pray, I want you to believe. You know, I believe in prayer. And I've got a prayer cloth in my pocket, in my billfold. I've had there for many years. Almost worn completely out. I got a little scripture in there that it says, wherever you set your foot, I'll give it to you. I'll keep you wherever you go. I'll be with you. I'll keep you. So, when we pray over these, perhaps you would want one of them. Every once in a while, we'll pray over prayer cloths. We don't pray over them regular. But every once in a while, we'll pray over them when somebody's desires. We seem to never have enough of them. But we're going to pray over them anyway. You know, I look at the little girls over here. Some of them's got on some of the most beautiful long dresses. All of them are pretty. But I notice a real colorful little dress here that some of them has on. Two or three of them has it on. It's real pretty. And, you know, it's becoming a style now to wear long dresses. We saw at least six stewardesses on the planes that had them down to their shoe tops. And just so many multiplied people on this trip we've seen with the long dresses. And even the lady that came up from Fitzgerald, she said, I feel real uncomfortable around the y'all, said, because I feel like I'm not even really dressed. And she said, I'm going back and tell the people down yonder that we're not even dressed. We need to. And so it's spreading, you know. And they're learning that the long dresses look much better. I don't mean this wrong. I really don't. God be my witness. I wouldn't say it about anybody here or anything. But women in short dresses, it just looks silly. That's all it is to it. They came over. They had their long dresses. Women always wore long dresses until it's been just a few years ago. And I know that the ladies, some of them in the short dresses, they don't understand, you know. Okay, I realize that they don't, and they're very good people. Some of them love the Lord, and I'm certainly not criticizing them, especially a child of God. So I'm not speaking of you. I'm speaking of the dress. Really and truly, now if you'll just stop and think about it and you'll stand there and look for a few minutes, you'll realize that it looks silly. You know, it looks just like a man that has took the scissors and chopped the end of his pants off. And that looks silly. Now you might say, well, I don't think it looks so silly. Well, I don't know. I saw a man over in Denver, Colorado, I believe it was, or up in Chicago, I believe it was Colorado.
there at the cafe, I saw a man. He come in, and he had his dress on. He didn't have pants on like you mean. He had a dress on. And his dress was about short like the women in America. And I thought, how silly. And I thought, well, if he's going to wear a long dress, at least, or a dress, he should at least wear a long one. I thought it would look a whole lot better, really. And that's the way I feel about women, you know. It looks silly. It looks to me like if they're going to wear something, they ought to wear one at least long enough to where it would look right. It looks like a person that's half made. But a woman with a long dress on, it looks like all of her is there. She's fully dressed, you know. A man the same way. All right, so I feel that the holy way is the good way and the God way. And somebody'd like to poke me in the nose. I know it. And they may poke me in the nose one day. I don't know. I hope they don't get that close to me. But they may do it. They've done things like that, you know. And they certainly don't feel good toward me. But I'm telling the truth. If they'd be a real man and admit it, they'd know it'd be the truth. All right, so then stretch out your hands toward me. Ladies, I appreciate you that want to set an example. I told my wife the other day, I love my wife very dearly. I appreciate her. It's become a style to wear long dresses now. And they're everywhere. So, but the thing is, those people can never wear them for Jesus as to frontier the thing like you ladies did. You know, because they wear them without the reproach because it's becoming a style. You did it with the reproach. And as in the early church, they went away counting in joy that they could suffer reproach for the name of Jesus. So you can be glad because you stayed with it and you've tried to set an example, something that's spreading all over the world. Everywhere, all over the world. All right, now we're going to pray. And while we're praying, I'm going to lay hands on these prayer cloths. And remember that these prayer cloths go out. And did you know that cancer is healed by them? How do you know that? Not by the prayer cloth, but by the Spirit of God. And this stirs their faith because it is you. See, prayer cloths can be made holy. How many of you know that? Well, somebody would say, you're absurd, Brother Pike. That's absurd. No, no. I'm not eccentric. I'm not beside myself. The Bible says God spoke to Moses and said, the ground wherein thou standest is holy. So when God dedicates something, it's holy, whether it's you or me or the ground, the cloth or whatever. So the Bible said aprons and handkerchiefs, whatever was taken out from Paul's body. And because of this, Paul wearing these things or having these things about him while he was preaching, they become anointed. And like it was when Elisha was put in the grave, he was so mightily anointed that when they threw a dead man in on the bones and tried to hide their crime, the anointing was so great, as fire shut up in the bones, that when the man hit the body of Elisha, he was brought to life and came back up out of the grave. So everything becomes holy. Even those garments that you men wear and the ladies wear, when you're really seeking God and you're really praising God and you're really looking to God, do you realize that those garments become holy? Sometimes somebody will say, you know, Sister Betty, how about giving me some of those dresses? Some man will say, hey, how about sharing some of your clothing with me to some of you men? They don't realize that. They're liable to get that garment on and they can't be what they was no more. Like the man at the funeral place, I told you, you know, there at the funeral home, I slipped in when he was gone and I anointed his bed and I said, God, don't let him rest until he gives his heart to God. Boy, he come back the next day and he said, I don't know what's happened. I can't rest. I can't sleep. He said, I don't know what's happened. Somebody done something to my bed. All right. Let's just lay our hands on these. Let's pray. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely child Jesus, as I lay my hands upon these cloths, Father, and the people here looking out, dear beloved Father, looking out in this direction, wanting to pray with me, I pray, Father, I lift my hands with these people. You said if any two of us agreed as touching anything, that it would be done. Now we believe that, Father. We're believers. We're filled with your Spirit, and we believe because you said it, then it will be done. So then, God, all of these prayer cloths going out, to whomsoever they go, they'll be healed, they'll be blessed. Oh, God, you said whoever we bless, they would be blessed. I, along with my people, we blessed these people to whom these cloths shall go. To the extent, Father, that they may be converted unto salvation and they may receive healing and deliverance and peace, such as they've never received before in all of their lives. Heal my people, Father, here. Bless my people here. Help them to hold up the standards of godliness. And, oh God, help them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Father, that every one of us together may be partakers together. Oh, dear, wonderful God, that when we stand before you in the day of the judgment, all of us may reap from the benefits of this message going into all the world, or the testimonies into all the world. Heavenly Father, help us to be one church, one brotherhood, with one God, with one faith, with one baptism. And Father, reach out into the church of God, where there's so many wonderful, darling people, and into the UPC, where there's so many lovely people, and in the full gospel businessmen, and all the other places, and even into the Catholic Church, Father, where there's such precious people as Martin Luther, that was willing to give his life, if it took it, to start the Protestant movement. Dear God, reach out and gather all of your children from every nation, from every kindred, from every tongue, Father, from every religious walk of life. I ask you to do that. Bless and heal and save in the name of Jesus. We ask it. Amen. We're going to sing one more chorus. Let's sing. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. If you haven't come, you can. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it again. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Is there any more, Brother Taylor? Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. I'm going to pray over a few more, because when those little hands went out, that made me feel real bad. I just let it go, and we don't pray over anymore, just rarely. But anyway, some little hands. Now, some that already have claws don't come up for one until the other ones can get one. And then after the others get one, then you can come back. I gave some of you one or two, and I know that you want them for your loved ones, and you can have just as many as you want, because it might be the prayer cloth that you give to them that brings them to God. It might just be that. Did you know the Bible said that the prayer cloth that went out from Paul's body, that special miracles was wrought by that? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I just don't believe in that. Well, I tell you what, if you don't believe in that, you can try this. If you don't believe in prayer cloths, the Bible said when Peter's shadow went over them, they got healed. So you can try that. If you can't use prayer cloths, use your shadow. It doesn't make any difference. Jesus just took some clay. He took a little spittle and confounded those wise, brilliant people. The thing is, it's by faith, and you people have faith. No doubt about it. You can't tell me that you haven't got faith. I know for sure that you got faith. The Bible said if there's any sick among you, call them up, call together the elders of the church, let the elders of the church anoint them with oil, And the prayer of faith will save the sick. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. That's how powerful the Word of God is, and the saints of God are in their offices in the earth. The world out yonder fighting them, calling them all kind of names. They don't realize that the church has their soul in their hand, and that they have their life and their blessings and their children's future in their hands. I tell you, it's going to be sad when God begins to turn the church around and the church begins to come against them people out there. See, the bowels of mercy, the compassion of God, right now it's still going along, and God is working with them out there. But it won't be long. You folks are going to be rising up. This year is going to start. God's going to start doing some things with you. And you're going to start rising up, taking the kingdoms of this world. Already things is in motion. One more time now, if you look up this way and stretch your hand out toward me, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we lay our hands upon these prayer cloths, that these people may have a benefit from Thee, believing, O God, for we do believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You said if we say anything and we believe it, and don't doubt it, it'll come to pass. Once again, I say, Father, that these prayer cloths are going out, and they're going to heal or bring healing by Your Spirit, by Your power. And they're going to bring blessings. They're going to relieve nerves. Those people that are bothered with nerves, it's going to bring them peace and the tranquility of God. And Lord, it's going to heal their sick bodies. And they're going to have miracles in their bodies, Heavenly Father. They're going to have it in the name of Jesus. I say that in the name of Jesus, believing it with all of my heart. And we'll get a good report, Heavenly Father. These prayer cloths, because of faith, are going out. And You're going to heal the sick. And You're going to deliver them from oppression. And them that are seeking financial blessings, Father, that are sincerely wanting to do something for God, You're going to bless them in a financial way, in a great way, to relieve the oppression of the necessitated things of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Hold out them little hands again, and Brother Pike, try to fill them with something. I still got a lot of hands holding out. Well, let's try it on the third pull, friend. All right, one more time. We're going to try. Some of them are wanting as many as three. They've got loved ones that they want to send them to. Folks, I tell you, you're going to hear from these. I hear from prayer cloths. You get reports back. I mean, these come back. You might not know about it, but these reports come back from prayer cloths and things of this nature where cancer is healed. I mean genuinely healed. Brother Fontaine, he used to love to take out prayer cloths. And he brought back some real phenomenal testimonies. He said, Brother Pike, it's the truth before God, said it happened. And even our tracks, I pray that God will anoint our tracks. And they're saying in Africa and different places that people that they know that's been sick and afflicted for many years, that they're being healed. And that it is a miracle, they say. So, we'll pray again. Okay. Let me anoint these. I don't have to anoint them with oil. Pray over them. But it's a practice with me. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks of anointing with oil. Sometimes I stick my finger in the oil and tap you on the head. Brother David Turrell, he pours a whole horn full on. So, I guess he goes back to the scripture where it's said, and when Samuel anointed them, they all run down their beard. Got Bible for it, so it's okay with me. I don't know whether it's true or not, but I was coming down the road here a while back, and the Lord dealt with me, and He spoke to my heart. I heard something say, if you'll pray and ask of me, I'll let David Turrell out of jail. Said, you can reach me by faith. So I prayed, and I said that God was going to let him out. Whether true or false, I don't know. They said he's out. I know when we prayed for Leroy Jenkins, he dealt with me that way. We prayed, and a little while Leroy was out. And of course, we've got numbers of other people that we prayed for, like Mike and the different ones. Prayed for many of them. Some of them had loved ones that had been in there for a number of years, and they couldn't seem to get out. But immediately after we prayed, within just a matter of weeks or months, they were let out. So God has been real good to us. We prayed when they had, I don't know how many prisoners, confinement over in Iran, was it? And we said the Lord spoke to us and was going to let them out. And he did. He let them all out. All right, so then that means, I say that to tell you this, that your prayer is far more powerful than you could have ever imagined or can imagine today. Your prayer is powerful. You need to pray. Don't just think, well, God won't do it for me. He just did it for Brother Pike. God doesn't love Brother Pike anymore, and he loves you. God's no respecter person. You're just as special to him as anybody else. The only difference is that Brother Pike prays and believes, and you just don't give God a chance to do it. If you would give God a chance to do it, he'd do it for you too. You're going to have to do that. It's people like Brother Jimmy that's going off up yonder. He's really going to have to use his faith. And Brother Lynn, they're really going to have to use their faith. We'll be praying for them, and you'll be praying for them. But see, they're going to be there, and they're going to have to use their faith. How do you appreciate Brother Richard's dad being with us today? He said he was coming. He told me, he said, I'm coming. And he come. I'm so glad that he's here. We talked with him. Let's just lift up our hands now one more time. When you pray, remember this now. The Bible said, when you pray, believe. Isn't that right? Now, we're going to pray while we're praying. We're going to believe that God's going to touch Beth and little Joshua and Rachel and help them. They've been going through a strenuous thing his as of late. And we're going to pray. We're going to believe. You going to believe with me? Okay, we're going to believe. I want you to believe now. I want you to think like this. Down in your heart, Jesus said, decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. Believe down in your heart. If it's something you want with all of your heart, something you'd like to have, we'll pray for you while we pray for these. You believe for these, and God will also help you to believe for yourself. So let's all believe together. You that are going on the trip to Israel, pray. Believe that God's going to bless us and take care of us. A lot of danger, plane crashes. You'll be in a turbulence. You'll be over there where they're using the guns. Pray. See, pray that God will help you. Pray that God will help us. Pray, as Paul said, that doors will be open to us for the gospel. So then, I'm asking you to pray. You pray with me. I'm praying with you. And you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And let's all work together. This meeting that we're fixing to have down near Mexico, most likely some of you are going to ride down there. Maybe you won't, but most likely some of you will. You usually do follow our minister going somewhere, you know. And all the other meetings that we've got coming up, whatever they might be, I want you to pray. Pray for the people in Africa. Pray for the people in India. Pray for the people all around the world. They're pleading for your prayer. They're writing and they're pleading for your prayer. You ought to take the extra step. Go the extra mile to fast and to pray and to be concerned about them. And to help those people. Send clothing. Send food. Do something for them. You know, the church isn't something that's just supposed to sit around and look pretty. And just to be a little community place where everybody can gather and have social parties for social benefits. The church is something that's the mighty army of God in the earth to conquer. Ye are God's, the Bible said, and ye are sons and daughters of God, and ye are to conquer. Ye are to conquer. Ye are to go forth conquering. You are to go forth doing something for God, establishing the kingdom of God in the earth and being used mightily of God. Your words are mighty. You don't realize it, but you may go over to visit your relatives, or you may go to visit your friend, or you may be uptown, and you may speak a word to somebody, and you may not think nothing about it. But as David of old, when he prayed, he didn't know it was words of prophetical utterance. Jesus later referred back to it as prophetical utterance. You might give a prophetical utterance. I've done that unawares, and then it would dawn on me what I did. And you might speak a word of judgment and not know it. And the next thing you know, that person is dead. As a matter of fact, Brother Gilbert Kerr come to me not too long ago. And Gilbert had went uptown and he'd run into somebody that was real critical about this out here. And it upset Gilbert because Gilbert's kind of fiery anyway. And all of a sudden he began to speak to the man pretty strong. And the next thing I know, death had struck that family. It had struck immediately. So see, you just don't ever know. That's happened numbers of times. Even your own loved ones, you need to be careful what you say to them and how you approach them. Because even your own loved ones, how many of you understand that when Miriam mocked Moses, that was his sister, and Aaron mocked Moses, how do you remember what happened? Didn't something bad happen? Leprosy struck. So be careful even when you're talking to your mother, when you're talking to your daddy, when you're talking to your brother, talking to your sister, no matter who it is, be careful. All right, stretch your hands out with me again. Will you do this? Kind Heavenly Father, for the third time, I'm stretching my hands out with the people. Oh God, even as they stretch their hands out toward me, being their minister, you said it not be me speaking, but the Heavenly Father, I stretch my hands back to them as God has His hands out, symbolizing in the earth the outstretched hands of God to the hands that are stretched toward God. Even those that are lifted up to show the nail prints of Jesus, showing Calvary that we are worthy through His blood. Father, though I know that I'm but a minister, and Lord, I'm less than nothing, but yet, God, I know that the minister symbolizes Thee in the earth. And as my hand stretches back to them, oh God, I know by that Your hands are stretched back to us. Now, Heavenly Father, as I feel that mighty anointing of God, I ask You to heal. Father, heal. Heal. First of all, heal my children in God. Heal them. They're walking with me, Father. Lord, and they're lifting up their hands to me. Heal my natural children, my natural loved ones. Oh God, heal, forgive, save. And dear wonderful God, everyone that hears my voice says to the children of God, I ask You, Lord, to heal them. Heal them, oh God, and make them well as I feel Your mighty anointing, God. Father, heal as I lay my hands upon these claws, Heavenly Father. Father, to touch these claws in the wonderful, worthy name of the Son of God. Oh, Lord God, and I see these little hands that's reaching up. I know that there's babes in Christ somewhere in the earth, Lord, that are crying for the milk of the Word and the bottle, Lord, that contains the milk of the Word. May we be the container. May the milk of the Word go to these little babes. And Father, even as these little hands are outstretched, may the Word of God go, and even the writings upon these claws, as to Jesus' lovely name and the kingdom of God going into these little hands. May it go into all the world for a witness. God, that all can have a benefit and be part of it. Heal, save, and forgive. Bring the threefold blessing of God upon all humanity according to the lovely will of Jesus and His sacrifice at Calvary. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, little folks, we're going to try again. I'll tell you what, I'm wondering if these ain't multiplying out there. Each time I see more hands, goodness gracious alive. If there's that many hands multiplying in the world as fast as these are, we're sure going to have to do something. I don't know what. You need one? Okay, let me see. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. We still don't have near enough. But you've got those, and we'll be praying over some more later, the good Lord's will. I want you to lift your hands up now with me. I want you to really believe God, because remember, you prayed over these prayer claws. That means that these prayer claws are anointed of God to do a job. And Brother Pike, sorry if he didn't have enough to give you. I tried to give to all of you as much as I can. Let's lift those hands up now. God is so good to us.
I'm so glad to see Brother David Durden back in church. He's been here with us. He might have stepped out, but he's been here with us in service. And David was telling me how that even those that have given him problems that wouldn't even come to his aid, they've made the statements that we don't want to do anything against you. Said, we had a strange feeling to come over us. Talking about lawmen now. Said, we've had a strange feeling to come over us. And we don't feel like we ought to bother you at all. Something is taking place. Prayer is being answered. So then, if you want to serve God, you can. If you want to be a child of God, you can. If you want to be a great, mighty leader in the earth and have heavenly treasures with eternal life, you can. So when you lift your hands up with me this time to pray, I'm going to call on one of the brethren. Now I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands up. I'm going to call on Brother Don Kleinex. As a matter of fact, I believe somebody said Don had been off somewhere fasting and praying. But anyway, I'm going to call on Don and ask Don to pray with you. Don believes in evangelism. That's one thing that makes me and Don pretty close. He believes in evangelism, and I do too. People who believe in world evangelism and they don't have respect of people or persons, then they get close to me, real close to me. Because my heart is in world evangelism and to all of humanity. So then this Don comes to pray with you. Let's just lift our hands up, close our eyes, and don't forget the service tonight. Come back with enthusiasm. Go out and invite somebody. The Bible said to compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Everyone that's going to continue to pray with us, remember what I said, and pray for Beth. Pray for the children. Continue to pray. When a brother or sister is sick, pray. Keep on talking to God. God will heal them, and God will deliver them, and God will make them well.